Welcome back to episode 132 of Podcast Royal. Rumors continue to fly all over the place. The news is crazy this week as ever. How are you doing today? How are you holding up?
Oh, doing well. I know. I think I have a few of our listeners that maybe follow me on my Instagram account, so they've probably seen some pictures I've posted. But you know, Rachel, my kitchen flooded from a leak, and we have been pulling up floors, and so we're kind of in that process now of starting to figure out how to put it all back together. So it's been a busy week, but you know, that on top of all the crazy royal news we've had going on, but otherwise all is well. So how are you?
I'm just thinking right now of me jinxing us both when I said, oh, it'll be really slow in February and March when Kate is off. Having no idea that, my God, I'm fine. It's just like, I feel so much for you because home stuff is so annoying and difficult, and to have it happening like right in the midst of this firestorm is just the wrong time, but it kind of usually is. I feel like we probably might have some new listeners because of all of this madness. I feel like the world has like woken up to the royal family within the past couple of weeks. So I am Rachel.
And I am Jessica.
And we are your leaders on this trail ride of craziness, I guess. And I want to start by, you know, first of all, saying such a sincere thank you to all of you that have reached out. We've gotten so many kind messages from DMs on Instagram, emails, perhaps our personal favorite on Apple Podcast reviews, just putting that plug in there. Such kind words about our episode last week. It takes courage sometimes to put yourself out there like that.
And yeah, we've been really overwhelmed with the response.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been so heartening because it's not about us, but like it is kind of tough right now to be a royal correspondent. And so we thank you for seeing us and for being a part of the Podcast Royal family with us. I want us to start off the show on a happy note and read an email from Sandy from Georgetown, Illinois. I feel like Sandy might have emailed us before, but anyway, Sandy wrote a really nice email. She's from Georgetown, Illinois. And Jessica, will you do the honors?
Yes. Okay. So Sandy said, I want to express my thanks to you both for taking the hard stand you did about the media harassment of the Princess of Wales. I have been disgusted at the things that have been said about her, and especially the lovely photos she released. I am an avid amateur photographer and I routinely edit photos. Why the big scene about it? I'm sick of the weird conspiracy theories about her. She is a lovely woman and so gracious, but she has had major surgery. I have had abdominal surgery, and trust me, it takes a while to get back to normal. Remember, normal for her is looking immaculate, being on her feet for long periods of time, all the while being photographed. None of us have had to deal with that. I agree that her medical issues are private. She does not have to be transparent about them to feed the frenzied so-called fans. I wish she could get the respect and privacy she needs. Thank you again for forcefully stating that opinion. Yours is the only royal podcast that I have listened to that has taken that stand. It makes me sad that so many have joined in the frenzy all because of a few edits on a picture. Keep up the great work. Love your podcast.
Oh, that's such a good email. And there's so many more where that came from. I just want to take this moment before you read. Actually, I think you're going to know this is a DM you're going to read. But please, listeners, our policy, right, is to, if you have kind things to say, please leave an Apple Podcast review so other people. And the reason for that is not because we want to inflate our egos. It's truly so that other people can find our show and so that we can continue to stay on air and provide this information for you. So please, please, please leave a kind Apple review. If you don't have anything nice to say, then just email us and we'll talk it out that way, or DM us, whatever. But I know you have another message that you want to I mean, we're just picking two of the many. So the Podcast Royal family has really shown up for us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I got another message on Instagram. It was a DM from Jackie, and I'm just going to paraphrase. I'm not going to read all the details she shared, but she said, I just listened to episode 130, and I just wanted to say bravo. I agree wholeheartedly and loved Rachel's soapbox rant and Jessica's comments. Whatever Princess Catherine is recovering from, she deserves privacy and rest. I've been with you since the beginning. Wasn't the first episode recorded in someone's walk-in closet?
Yes, it was.
Yes, Jackie, that was mine. And listen to you on my commute. Having worked all through COVID as a frontline retail manager, I can't tell you enough how I enjoyed your podcast. Mm. I felt like you two were my new best friends, even though I'm probably old enough to be your mother. Your guests have been utterly impressive. And now that you've spoken to Earl Spencer, do you think you could get Jay Mitty?
We hope
Thank
so.
Thank you for your delightful segments and keeping it real. Blessings on your future. Jackie. Well,
Jackie, thank you.
I loved that message. I responded back to her and said, we'll do everything we can to get Jay Mitty on the pod. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be part of your commute and for working all through those tough years during COVID too.
Jackie's an OG. We've been on the air for like 3.5 years. So thanks for hanging out with us, especially in the beginning. My God, we're going to talk for like 1 second later in the show about episode one. And if you've been here since the start, God bless you. But I want to add this in here before we get into the Royal Rundown. I have, and I wonder if you feel the same way, Jessica. Obviously, you and I have followed the Royal family forever. The world now all collectively follows the Royal family suddenly. And I am feeling really, really fiercely protective of the royal family. Like, who do you think you are, Sally, who's never want, or Sammy, who's never once cared about the royal family? Who are you to weigh in on this? I don't know. Maybe I just need to get over myself. But like, my philosophy is, who are you to think you are to comment on a family you don't even know, as if I know them? But to all these people who are suddenly obsessed with the royal family, believing these wild, stupid conspiracy theories, and they don't even know what they're talking about, they're not based in any kind of fact, they don't have any backstory, they don't know any better. And I just wonder if you listeners feel the same, and I especially wonder if you feel this way, Jessica.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. And, you know, I think I have felt this way for a while, especially going back to the accusations that we got from the Sussexes when they were sharing their truth and their story on television. We got a lot of damaging accusations with no evidence or proof. And to me, I just felt like that was really violating the privacy of the family. It was crossing a line. And if I could trace it back, I think that's the first point I started to feel really protective of the family. And it's, you know, continued now with everything going on in the news.
Yeah, I just am like, I don't want to hear your opinion on the royal family when you didn't know who anybody was a month ago. Like, walk off. I don't know. Sure. I need to probably get over myself. But anyways, Royal Rundown time, obviously a lot to say. So let's kick it off, of course, with our weekly Kate update, as we're calling it.
Yeah. So I do want to preface all of this, you know, the update that we're about to give by saying we do, Rachel and I, we try very hard to avoid sharing stories that are printed in tabloid news, and we like to only report on fact. But with all the conspiracy theories surrounding this story, Rachel, I feel like it's getting harder and harder to determine fact from fiction.
Totally.
I mean, you know, it's like a report will come out and then hours later there's an update or a correction that's been made. And then hours after that, people start questioning the timing of the story or the validity of the information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of that stuff is, you know, it's coming from less than trustworthy news sites, right? It's coming from things we don't normally report on. But then some of those stories are later backed by reputable sources. And so maybe they are a little bit more trustworthy. So I say all that to say we're doing our best to navigate this and to report on what we believe has been confirmed as fact. Yes. So just wanted to put that out there.
Well, it's just really choppy waters out here right now, but we really are doing our best to stay above the fray and above the conspiracy theories.
And back to what you were talking about being protective of the family when you feel like people don't even know the family. I think that's, you know, another way that I resonate with what you're saying and feel that way. A lot of these stories, people are reporting as if they are so knowledgeable of the royal family, but they get names wrong. They, you know, it's clear they have never followed them before, and it just feels like they're feeding into these lies. So
I just thought of it. Right. We need to start the new litmus test. Do you know who Peter Phillips is? If you do know who Peter Phillips is, then we can talk. If you don't know who Peter Phillips is, I don't care what you have to say. So that's my new litmus test. Listeners, maybe you'll. So if somebody comes to you with some crazy theory because they know you love the royals, ask them, do you know who Peter Phillips is? And if they say no, be like, Okay, well, be gone. I don't care.
I love that. My face
cannot take it.
Rachel, I love that, but I feel like just because you said that, there's going to be this like viral story this week of who is Peter Phillips?
Well, then good, because I would love to write about Peter Phillips rather than some of the stuff I've been writing about. So listeners, you know how I feel about him. So
let's dive into this latest update. So I don't know about you, Rachel, but when I was putting our notes together this week, I was thinking the Kate conspiracy theories have really felt to me like maybe they've reached their peak and they're sort of on the decline. And I could be speaking too soon, but it does seem to me like these conspiracy theories sort of ramp up more and more and more until your TikTok or Instagram influencers just kind of run out of subjects to speculate on. And then they start to lose the attention of the public. And then it's kind of on to the next big headline. And so I do think we'll continue to see a level of interest in the Princess of Wales, but I think some of these really wild theories have started to be debunked and people are realizing how silly they sound. And I think the really strange ones that are unfolding are starting to be questioned more now, or maybe just disregarded altogether. So I think you're noticing that as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm hopeful for that. And it kind of feels like, I mean, I guess I've never been through a hurricane, but it feels like it must like feel like in the middle of a major storm, like just hold on. And it's going to get better, but you just have to hold on through it. And I hope the worst has passed.
Me too. All right. So on these updates, since our last episode, we had a few articles come out in the Times and the Telegraph, giving us some clues and maybe clarification around what we might can expect when it comes to future sightings and plans for the Princess of Wales. So this article in the Times claimed that William and Catherine do actually follow the news, and they're very much aware of all the headlines. And, you know, Catherine especially was devastated over the Mother's Day photo uproar in the news with all the kill notices coming out. I think that really bothered her. And, you know, Kensington Palace was called out in that, rightfully so. I mean, we called them out in our last episode. But this article also claimed that she didn't inform her team she had made edits. So whether you believe that to be true or not, wherever you fall on that, we can't really say, but that is what the source is claiming on that photo. So that's kind of our first little update.
It makes me sad. I hope she stays out of the comments. I mean, she's been at this for a long time, but of course it affects you, you know, it just, she's human.
Exactly. Well, then we learned that Catherine was reportedly seen at Lambrook recently, where the children attend school. And there was also a sighting of her at Charlotte's football match sometime in the last couple of weeks. So she's been, you know, kind of out and about in their local area. The article also suggested that at some point in the future, we might hear Catherine talk more about her health and the surgery she's had, maybe at an engagement or some type of event like that. And it did clarify that when the palace said she wouldn't be back to public duties until after Easter, they weren't literally referring to the Easter Sunday holiday that we're all thinking end of March, but they were referring to her children's Easter holiday break from school, which lasts until April 17th, and that Prince William may also take some time off during that break. So I think that was interesting, didn't you?
Yeah, because I was kind of thinking that she would be back on Easter Sunday, but they're right. They never explicitly said on Easter. They just said after Easter. So,
yeah, I didn't necessarily expect an Easter Sunday sighting because they did say after, but I don't think the public would have put two and two together. They were referring to the school holiday. So that was a little bit interesting. But so then we had an article in the Telegraph claim that the princess has actually not made a final decision on whether she will join the family for the Easter Sunday walk to church, and that it could actually still be a possibility. So following all of that, we had a report come out that she was spotted out and about in Windsor with Prince William. She was visiting her favorite farm shop there, and the report said that she looked happy, relaxed, and healthy. And then shortly after, TMZ and I think The Sun released some video footage of William and Catherine. They were walking side by side at that farm shop. And I know you saw it, Rachel. She definitely looked happy and healthy to me.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely looked happy. She looks rather thin, and I'm not one to comment on women's bodies, but she, I mean, she just had major abdominal surgery, so who can
Right.
blame her? But she did look very happy. I was so happy to see her, to be honest with you, and she looked like herself, albeit someone that just had surgery. So I'm glad to see her.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I felt like she was out in her tennis shoes and walking, and like I thought she looked great. So
Yeah.
we'll have to wait and find out more about the Easter Sunday plans. But to me, I think the big takeaway from all of this is she has been confirmed to be seen out and about. And I think she's probably considering how she'll want to make her first kind of official appearance back into the public. And all of this indicates that recovery must be going well. I think hopefully she's feeling better.
Yes. And of course, these little trolls, and I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole, but are saying that it wasn't her. It was a body double. It was AI. This is when I think people are starting to be like, okay, these people are stupid. Like,
Yeah.
this is so dumb. It was Kate. Like, if you look at the photo zoomed in, yes, I do believe Kate has lost some weight, but it's Kate. And so it was great to see her out. And I just am sitting here thinking, we all, like, as in you and I, plus all of you listening, need to just be hitting refresh, refresh, refresh on the royal diary, because at some point Kate's going to have a royal engagement, whether at some point it's going to get posted. So let's keep looking, and let's look in fact, not in fiction, like the internet is right now, the Twitter or the X or whatever the hell they call it, and TikTok and all that. Let's stay in fact and keep checking that royal diary.
Well, speaking of internet trolls, I do not like talking about this, but because this has been a big part of what's being reported in the news, it's kind of been discussed across all media outlets and social media. I am going to mention that Rose Hanbury has broken her silence on the absurd affair rumors. And we actually did, I know a lot of our listeners probably heard it, but we did a deep dive on this subject several episodes back. We had received a listener question regarding the validity of the affair between Rose and William. And we're not going into detail here, but in short, we have absolutely zero evidence of this ever happening. Not one single person has ever been able to find anything to prove it. And it was a wild, unconfirmed rumor that happened to go viral. And Rachel and I have never believed it to be true. And Rose Hanbury herself has actually denied that it ever occurred. So her lawyers released a statement today that simply said the rumors are completely false. And I don't have anything else really to add to that. In my opinion, the source has spoken. I'm glad she did. And I think it's honestly really incredibly offensive to be a victim of that type of rumor.
Yeah, and don't do us any favors, Stephen Colbert. That's the reason why this is all brought back to life again years later, is because of his opening monologue. Not cool to capitalize on someone else's pain. But anyway, I digress. Way to go, Rose, is all I have to say. I think that the precedent was set after Kate apologized for the edited photo on Mother's Day. I feel like it was not even a statement from her. It was from her lawyers. It was very short. It literally was like three words, but she said what she needed to say. Way to go, Rose. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for William and Kate. Can we please bury this tired narrative? I never want, God bless Rose Hanbury, but I never want to say her name again. I just want this to be over. It never happened. So let's move on. But okay, so something that did happen, and speaking of the Mother's Day photo, so well, before I get into that, I want to add in a sweet comment that William made today, Tuesday, at an engagement in Sheffield. So he was there doing work for Homewards, which is his cause that supports ending homelessness. It would be what I would call the work of William's life. So when Sheffield City Council Chief Executive Kate Josephs brought up the topic of childhood during the meeting, which of course is the what I would call the work of the Princess of Wales's life, William noted sweetly, "That's my wife's area. She needs to be sat here." And I thought that was really
Aww,
sweet, because he's
that's
obviously
so
she's always on his mind, and I'm sure William is like the unsung hero of all of this, like all that he's carrying with his
I
father
agree.
and
I
his
agree.
and his and his wife, and taking care of the kids and still being on royal duty. I mean, bravo to William. I just That's a lot. But
The
okay.
two of them have both had it really tough lately, but I
Yeah.
do feel like William's been under a different level of pressure that. We all are aware that Catherine's gotten a really unfair treatment recently, but I feel like William has too, and that hasn't been reported. it on.
Oh, some of the we will never go into this, but some of the disgusting things that I've seen about William are just appalling. And again, all of you should be ashamed of yourselves that are peddling this for clout or clicks or whatever you're after, but shame on you. But anyway, so this is news, and you know, we're not toxically positive here. We don't always have to stay on the positive side of the street, but I just hate, you know, that this feels like a row of dominoes that is going to continue to fall. Now I feel like every photo that Kate has ever taken and released to the public is now going to be picked apart. And at some point we're just going to stop reporting on this, but as if all of this couldn't get any crazier, today, Tuesday, Getty Images, which is a major news agency, one of the agencies that killed the Mother's Day photo, the agency has determined that this photo, I dropped it in the show notes, Jessica, I'm sure listeners, you know what photo we're talking about, but this photo of Queen Elizabeth surrounded by some of her grandchildren, I see Louise and James in there, and then some, not all, but a lot of her great grandchildren. This was a photo taken by Kate, was also digitally manipulated. So it shows the Queen sitting in the center of a green sofa. She's surrounded by the Wales kids, the Tyndall kids, the Phillips kids, Louise and James. They're at Balmoral. It's taken, I think, in August of 2022. So about a month or so before she passed away there on September 8th. So again, listeners, I know you can't see this, but I'm sure you know the photo we're referring to in it. And it was released by the Prince and Princess of Wales on what would have been Her Late Majesty's 97th birthday in April of last year. But it was, as I said, it was taken the summer prior. And so per the Telegraph, Getty found 6 different discrepancies in the photo and determined that it had been digitally enhanced. So 2 inconsistencies found, and now of course everybody's going to go look at the photo, were a vertical line where the tartan on the Queen's skirt doesn't match, and then I don't even know what this means, but a digital repetition of Mia Tyndall's hair. So again, as I said, something tells me that we're now going to pick apart every single birthday photo of the kids we've ever seen. And it's just going to be like a row of dominoes, one by one from the past. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember when we actually talked about this photo when it was first released, we were like, oh, that's great. All the, you know, children together with the Queen. And I agree with you. I mean, I think people will start to analyze photos, and it does, unfortunately, I think, have some people questioning the credibility of what the palace is releasing. Again, we said in our last episode, this is not the only royal family that edits or manipulates photos. Others do too, but they've kind of come under the spotlight. This is also not the only
family that manipulates photos, as in like every single famous. So
I think the challenge here is, and this is kind of where it depends on whether or not it feels trustworthy, is we can all agree if there's a photo taken and you've got to take several shots and maybe piece together ones where all the kids are looking at the camera and they're smiling and not blinking, that's fair. But if you're piecing together images from like last year and then 2 weeks ago, and you know, and this, and these people were never gathered here for this photo, it was all just right, kind of together like a puzzle, that's where it starts to feel inauthentic.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is it meant to be deceptive and create something that isn't true? No. Or is it meant to like make the kids, because there's like 10 kids in this photo, 8, 10, however many kids, make the kids look better? I mean, it's just, you know, and I love how all these little photo experts are coming out of the woodwork. This photo has been out in the public domain for 11 months, and not a single soul, at least not that I've ever heard of, said any, including Getty for that matter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everybody's just glomming on right now. And it's just, at a certain point, we're going to stop like reporting on these photos. But I do feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg, sadly.
Yeah. Well, while we are talking latest updates, and we've kind of done a quick health update on the Princess of Wales, I want to chat about King Charles real quick. So it was reported recently that he is hopeful he'll be able to experience Trooping the Colour in some capacity, which is exciting because that's a big event for him. So his doctors, you know, they have been discouraging him from being in large crowds while he's undergoing cancer treatment. This means that if he were to attend Trooping the Colour, it may be in like an enclosed carriage, or he might be watching the event from a stage or platform where he's able to distance from the crowd. So we'll wait and see, but hopefully that's good news for him and he'll be able to attend. And another positive little note on King Charles, he was actually out working today. Did you see that, Rachel?
Oh, he's alive. good to know.
Unless the photo was manipulated.
We're not even going to touch that. But anyway, yes, I did see that. And I'm glad to see that he is in fact living. So that's good.
Yeah. So he was meeting with veterans of the Korean War at Buckingham Palace. And then later on, Princess Anne and Sophie, the Duchess of Edinburgh, led a reception to go alongside with that. So it was to commemorate the anniversary of the Forgotten War, which of course is a Korean War. And I was looking at the photos and I was thinking Princess Anne and Sophie must have like called each other and coordinated their outfits because they were both in teal. Sophie had more of like a floral kind of print dress on and Anne's was a solid pattern, but they matched really well. They looked great.
I love it. And I'm sure they're anchoring the family as well. Again, listeners, we're not even going to touch on the whole death hoax, the BBC hashtag royal announcement, whatever. Like it's you and all of us just have to parse through the BS right now. And that was BS, but something really exciting. So I'm actually super pumped about this. I always loved the TIG. And now we've got another lifestyle brand coming from one Meghan Markle. So on Thursday, I think it was, the 14th, Meghan launched a new lifestyle brand called American Riviera Orchard. So we were just having this conversation before we started recording. So we add in show notes as the week goes on. And so we're not completely overwhelmed on Tuesday, the day we record. And so in the show notes, I put, this will be one of the biggest news stories of the week prior to everything that happened over the weekend. So this, the news just changes so quickly, but I still think that this story is super exciting. And it's news that I've been waiting on for so long. The launch of Meghan's Mystery Venture, which we now know is a lifestyle brand again called American Riviera Orchard. So I put this in my work group chat the other day, three words I never thought I'd say so much in 2024. Number one, prostate. Never thought I never want to say the words enlarged prostate ever again or type them. Photoshop. Don't ever think about Photoshop until, the past week and a half. And Riviera. I struggle spelling Riviera. Maybe I'll get used to it eventually, but those three words are basically the royal family in 2024 in a nutshell right now. But anyway, I want to fill you in on what we know. So we have been hearing buzz that Meghan was going to go the lifestyle route, a la Martha Stewart, Gwyneth Paltrow, so on. And it actually wouldn't be her first time, as her popular blog, The Tig, did really well before she shuttered it in preparation to marry Harry back in 2018. So after she signed with William Morris Endeavor, or WME, back in April of last year, and with Ari Emanuel, I knew that something was, and I'm not the only one, I think everyone knew something was brewing. You don't sign with WME and have Ari Emanuel as your agent if you're not up to something big. And this seems to be it. So American Riviera Orchard launched on Thursday, March 14th. It has a website. It has an Instagram page. And the bio for the Instagram page reads simply, "By Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, established 2024. So the brand's first Instagram story showed Meghan cooking in a kitchen, picking flowers set to the Nancy Wilson song, I Wish You Love. Its logo also includes Montecito, which we don't have to tell you is the neighborhood where Meghan resides with her family. So what about the name? So the name American Riviera Orchard seems to be a nod to Santa Barbara, which is the town where the Sussexes reside. So think of it like this. Santa Barbara's the town. Montecito is the neighborhood. And Travel and Leisure magazine says that Santa Barbara has been known as the American Riviera, so there's the name, for more than 100 years because of its temperate climate with lush landscapes, as well as its robust food and wine culture. So of course, robust food and wine culture immediately makes me think of the TIG, which focused on food and wine and travel and fashion and personal inspiration. And actually, the name the TIG comes from Tignanello, which is a full-bodied red wine. And Meghan said in a previous interview that trying the Tignanello, I think I'm saying it right, was her first time understanding why people love a certain wine. And she developed the TIG into her own vernacular for getting it, about not just wine, but everything. So that's
Rachel.
Yes.
I just have to jump in here and say
jump right on me.
all of the words that you struggle to say, but you can just say Tignanello like nobody's business.
Oh, I thought I hope I said it right. Watch me say it with such confidence and I'm mispronouncing it.
I don't know, but I try to avoid saying that word at all costs because I struggle with that one.
Look, listeners, we're trying. Literally listen to episode one. We did not ever promise you a perfect podcast and we have delivered on that promise infinitely. So, okay. So now I don't have a problem saying the word Riviera. I do have a problem spelling it. Maybe I'll get used to it eventually. But so American Riviera Orchards trademark application, which is currently awaiting examination. This is a lot. This is going to be major. It revealed that the brand plans to sell tableware, drinkware, including decanters, kitchen linens, edible treats. Like, this is so interesting to me. Jellies, jams, marmalade, spreads, fruit preserves, edible oils and fats, nut butters, fruit butters. All of this made the cut. Now, just because you ask for it doesn't mean you're going to do it, but they're probably covering a wide swath. But they're seeking approval for both downloadable and printable cookbooks and recipe books. And the trademark application was filed on February 2nd. So you can overanalyze the timing of that all day long. And it, as I said, is still pending review by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Additional items listed outside of the above include table cutlery, coffee and tea services in the nature of tableware, servingware, dinnerware, chargers, okay, random, napkin rings, table place card holders, beverageware, textile tablecloths, placemats and napkins, kitchen and table linens, and gift wrap of fabric. It also asks for, I think this is really interesting, retail store services featuring foods, books, tableware, and tablescape goods, table linens. We're just putting it all in here, and servingware. It also asks for online retail store services featuring everything I just said. I'm not going to go over all that again. So what this means, this hints that items could be sold not just online, but in a possible brick and mortar store as well. And okay, I find this detail like incredibly kind of adorable and funny. The trademark document lists the owner as Mama Knows Best LLC, which is kind of amazing and based in Beverly Hills. All right, let me stop here.
I saw that too, and I wondered what that might be from.
Like, well, that's, I guess, Megan's LLC. Like, that's,
yeah, I know, but you have to like come up with your LLC name. So I wonder where that came from.
My LLC name is just my name. Like, I'm not that creative. It's just Rachel Birchfield LLC. But anyway, okay. So broadly, American Riviera Orchard is expected to focus on home, garden, food, general lifestyle. Megan has apparently been working on this for over a year, which I believe, hence the WME signing in April. And it represents all the things close to her heart, all the things she's passionate about. This is just step one of the brand. Apparently, this is going to eventually dovetail with her ongoing Netflix deal, which of course she shares with Harry. The brand will eventually apparently have a cookery show on Netflix, a book, a blog, all of it. So remember, when we've said this on the show before, so when Harry and Meghan signed the 4-book deal with Penguin Random House, it was going to include The Bench, so check, Spare, check, and then some kind of a wellness book from Meghan. So this must be that, right? And so, and then the 4th book is kind of a mystery. It's been rumored to be a memoir from Meghan, but no confirmation on that as of yet. But interestingly, and who knows whether one has anything to do with the other, but last Thursday, the 14th launch of American Riviera Orchard, which is a mouthful, by the way, it's a mouthful to type and it's a mouthful to say, but anyway, it's not goop, but it's not trying to be. So anyway, American Riviera Orchard is 4 years exactly since Harry, Meghan, Archie, and Meghan's mother, Doria Ragland, flew from Vancouver, Canada to California, which is where they began their life in Santa Barbara or the American Riviera. So that could mean something and it could mean nothing. But if you'll remember, the Sussexes first went to Canada after leaving the UK and then eventually ended up in California. So that's a huge announcement. Again, normally that would have been the top of the show, but life is weird right now. So I want to know your thoughts on all things American Riviera Orchard.
Well, I am definitely interested to see what comes from all of this. And I wonder how soon we can expect a glimpse of some of the products being sold and content that's going to be produced. And I was going to ask you if you saw any indication of when that might be in the articles you read. Because I know when I went to the website, there was a wait list where you could sign up to receive notices on products. But, you know, you couldn't really see anything else. It was kind of a landing page.
Sure, well, there is none because it needs to, the trademark application needs to go through and be approved before any of the, I'm actually kind of surprised that they launched like this prior to the trademarks being full. Like, what if you like had to like, oops, like American Riviera Orchard is already like, you know, I mean, surely they've done enough research to know like it's gonna go through, but the paperwork is still not complete. So I seriously doubt that anything else will be announced until that's all buttoned up. I don't know how long that takes. I've never trademarked anything, but yeah, I have no clue. Hopefully I want to buy some jellies and jams from Megan. I want some. I want a cookbook from Megan. So
I am very into all things food and
this
home.
Is all you, baby. So, this is your lane, Jessica. This is all lifestyle like you love.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they're offering. So first up, I feel like American Riviera Orchard is quite a mouthful.
It really is.
I counted. It's 10 syllables. And I was wondering why maybe they didn't come up with something a little bit shorter, like maybe just Riviera Orchard. It's the complete opposite of Goop, right?
Totally.
In the terms of the name. So that was just, I was really curious about that. And I was Googling brands with long names to see what else was out there. And I really couldn't find anything that long. So
yeah,
I just thought that was interesting. And I wonder if we'll see them do some type of acronym or shortening of the name
I've
at all.
I've wondered that too. ARO, like maybe, I'm no brand expert, but like, what if they did, like, what if their logo was like an arrow, like ARO, arrows, get it? I don't know. Probably a stupid idea, but who knows? But yeah, it's a lot to type. It's a lot to say.
Well, they do have, they're going with an A theme because they've got Archwell.
Yep. Yep.
In American
archetypes,
yeah. Archetypes,
yeah, all of it.
The other thing that sticks out to me is the direction the brand is going. So, you know, I'm assuming American, well, we know American Riviera, like you said, is the area that they're located in.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me assume that Orchard could be alluding to like their personal property. And I was wondering, like, maybe they've named their property in Montecito, American Riviera and Orchard. You know how, like, wealthy people, especially, like, royals, like, there's Sandringham Estate and, you know, Balmoral. Like, maybe this is American Riviera Orchard.
Never thought about that. That's interesting.
So then I was thinking the whole, like, products and what they're going to be selling, it does feel very much like our royal properties. So you guys know, our listeners know, if you go to the UK, you can visit some of our royal properties that they have. Like they've got, of course, Buckingham Palace, but they've got, you know, like their different estates. And a lot of them have little gift shops where you can go and shop, and they have websites. And so you can get like royally branded food products and different souvenirs. Like they're all very food and home related. So there's tea towels, baskets, other gifts. Like you can go to the royalcollectionshop.uk or .co.uk and you can purchase orange marmalade, you know, Buckingham Palace orange marmalade or strawberry preserves, honey from the bees at Balmoral. And they've got chocolate and wine and British teas. And then their website also has like tableware. They've got teapots, plates, bowls, cups, saucers. So we've actually did this on an episode before where we did, I think, a shopping guide. I will say that the royal tableware is very pricey. So I kind of imagine Megan's will be on the pricier end too.
But I want to know the price points here. Yeah, I want to know, is it going to be like affordable or is it going to be luxury? Where are we going here?
Yeah. And then so King Charles actually has his Highgrove shop and they've got same kind of items sold there. One thing about his shop that I thought was interesting is it says on the website, all profits are donated to charity, but you can go on there and purchase. So, you know, if you do want to make a donation to charity and purchase something from Highgrove shop, they've got like plant pots, kitchen linens, champagne, tea and biscuits. So all kinds of stuff there. So I don't know. You asked my thoughts. That was kind of my first, like where my mind started going with all of this was, where did they get the name from? Maybe they've named their property that, and it's kind of alluding to that, or, you know, I don't know. And then it made me think of our royal properties that we see around the UK, that has gift shops with homewares and food items. So.
Those are some incredibly insightful thoughts, and I have just been so consumed with Kate that I hadn't even thought about you're absolutely right. This is like totally what the royals do at their homes, and that is that you're kind of blowing. I'm like, it's I, you're kind of blowing my mind wide open over here because dang, like she, like that business model. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. That is crazy. I'm gonna have to stew on that for a little bit. Those are two very insightful points you just brought up.
I'll be excited to continue to watch this and kind of see what unfolds. But
yeah,
thanks for that update, Rachel. And we've got some fun news to get to because this past Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. Rachel, did you wear green or do anything festive?
No, we did nothing. All we did, what even did we do? We didn't do anything for the holiday. It was weird. We both looked at each other and we were like, wait, it's St. Patrick's Day today. No, so I'm a little bit like very tiny percent Irish, but bad Irish person over here. But no, did you?
I made a few floral arrangements.
Oh my gosh. You are American Riviera Orchard's preferred client, the lifestyle stuff. It's built for you.
I was out Sunday morning and I saw some pretty flowers and I could not make up my mind over which ones to get. I had white tulips, I had hydrangeas, I had some greenery and some white roses. And I told the lady, I said, I can't decide, so I'm just going to buy them all. And I said, I'm going to call it an investment in my floral arranging hobby, and I'll practice some centerpieces. So that's what I did. They were green and white.
Most adorable, aspirational person ever. I do finally remember what we did on Sunday. We watched Selection Sunday for college basketball. That was pretty much it. So go you. You are the Kate Middleton of this podcast. And I'm just like, yeah, we watched Selection Sunday. So anyway.
Well, one thing I also love about St. Patrick's Day is seeing our royal celebrate in a festive way, because it's always a fun type of event. I feel like it's really uplifting. And, you know, in the past, we've seen William and Catherine enjoying a glass of Guinness or wearing their green. And of course, my personal favorite, petting the Irish Wolfhound, who, you know, is a very dedicated mascot of the Irish Guards. So I was a little bit bummed we didn't get to see William and Catherine at the parade this year, but I did want to mention the Irish Guards did a little something special for Catherine. Yeah. Did you see that?
I did. I thought this was really sweet.
Yeah. So listeners might remember she's the honorary colonel of the Irish Guards. And not only did they send her their well wishes, they recognized her by giving three cheers to her at their parade over the weekend. Mm. And I think I've actually mentioned this on the podcast before, but I'm going to share our fun fact. The mascot, the Irish Wolfhound, cute little doggy. His name is Seamus and he's 3 years old.
Oh, hi, Seamus.
I just love seeing him every time they show him. But Catherine, you know, she might not have been able to be there, but we did have some royal representation for the holiday this year. So last Friday, Sophie, the Duchess of Edinburgh, visited Lisburn for a St. Patrick's Day parade with the Royal Irish Regiment, and she is their colonel in chief. So she was there. She had a really pretty, like, olive green colored long coat. It had this bow detailer on the neckline collar area. She looked great.
She did. She did. And that proves to me that there are still good people in this world. I love what they did for Kate, and we'll send our own three cheers to her too.
Definitely. So another fun little engagement I want to chat about. I think we both have a few things to mention related to Prince William. So I'll kick us off and then you can go from there. But we may have just been talking about Meghan having a cooking show, but I saw Prince William last week and it looks like he had his own little cooking show on social media.
Yeah.
It was really fun. So he actually attended the opening of West, which is a new youth zone in London. And it's actually focused on using sports as a way to support the well-being of young people. So West stands for Where Everyone Sticks Together. And this facility has a climbing wall, a fitness center, an art studio, a cafe, and a teaching kitchen. And apparently they'll be providing hot meals to youths at a maximum price of $1.30. Cool. So really cool. But while he was there, Prince William got to decorate some cookies with icing, and someone who was there watching chimed in and they said they were really impressed by his artistry. And Prince William looked back and he responded, he said that his wife is actually the arty one and his children are also more arty than he is. And then he mentioned Prince Louis really loves sprinkles, so he was going to add some sprinkles to his cookie. So that was, you know, every time they put him in a kitchen, I feel like they do it fairly often. It's always kind of fun. It's
funny.
We also saw him throw a basketball with the kids. And again, I just like how comfortably he engages with children at these types of events or youth. And, you know, these are fun to chat about because I do feel like they're really positive engagements and we just get to see a different side of them that's maybe not as serious. But while we're talking about royals being on shows, Uncle Gary might be going on Celebrity Big Brother and Mike Tyndall might have been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But I am still holding out hope that one day William and Catherine will be on Great British Bake Off. And Rachel, I hope that that finally gets you to watch the show.
Yes, I will watch the Great British Bake Off for William and Kate. I will. I will. I know you love that show. And it's not that I don't love that show. It's just whenever I watch shows like Top Chef or that, I just want to eat everything. And that's like what I'm trying to avoid right now. So that's why I actively avoid it. But okay. So, and, you know, for our next story, I kind of hate this because what we should be talking about is the Diana Awards and the great work that they do. And we will talk about that. But of course, what makes the headlines is the constant brothers at war narrative. So William and Harry both made an appearance at the Diana Awards on Thursday night. They did not appear at the event at the same time, apparently on purpose, even though they were 5,000 miles away from one another. So William and Harry honored Diana at the eponymous Diana Awards. Like I said, on Thursday, it was held at the London Science Museum. William was on the ground in London and gave remarks. He left around 8:30 p.m. and then Harry called in via video from his home in California. And his call didn't come in until around midnight. So that was over 3 hours after William had departed. There was no overlap whatsoever in the brothers' appearances, and that reportedly, and this is from reputable sources, was on purpose. So the awards marked, now we're going to talk about the stuff that actually really matters. The awards marked the charity's 25th anniversary. It was set up 2 years after Diana died in 1990. Diana died in 1987. The charity was set up in 1999. The Diana Award is the only charitable organization that carries her name. And in his speech, William said of his mother, "She taught me that everyone has the potential to give something back, that everyone in need deserves a supporting hand in life." That legacy is something that both Catherine and I have. He's mentioning Kate a lot.
Yeah.
And which is good and likely intentional, but also good. Anyway, that legacy is something that both Catherine and I have sought to focus on through our work, as have the 50,000 young people who have received a Diana Award over the past 25 years. So then later on, when Harry was on the video, Harry said, "My mom would be incredibly proud of all the work that you've done. I'm incredibly proud and thank you for doing everything that you do." And Harry added, "I'm sorry I can't be there. I wish I could be there with you guys." He acknowledged the late hour. Keep in mind that this is like midnight their time and these are young people. And he added with a laugh, "Enjoy the rest of your evening if that's what you plan to do. Don't get in too much trouble if you're continuing to go on." So I want to continue, like, I know it grabbed the headlines because I wrote some of the headlines, but the work of the Diana Award is so important. So the award celebrates the achievements of 20 young leaders every year, inspiring the next generation to follow in Diana's footsteps and make a positive difference in the world. This year's winners of the Legacy Awards come from all over the world, from the UK to the US to Bangladesh, Nigeria, India, Indonesia, the UAE, Jamaica, and more. And Diana really believed that young people have the power to change the world. And the award named in her honor celebrates the work that young people do and what they bring to society. So I definitely want to make sure that we talk about what the award is, because that's important. I think more important than the continued narrative, as I said, of brothers at war. So any thoughts you want to add in here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a really great event and I agree with you. You know, it feels like we can't escape these headlines and people know what gets clicks, but it's unfortunate that this event that's meant to highlight such a positive thing that's going on, something, you know, Princess Diana, losing Princess Diana was a tragedy, but people have tried to take that and make something positive out of the impact that she made. And then to see the story come out and it's more focused on, mm-hmm. you know, tension between the brothers is unfortunate. And, yeah. you know, they, despite what's going on behind closed doors, they are not the ones spreading these rumors. They're going there and they're doing the work and they're, you know, trying to support the award and, you know, what's happening here, the mission. And it's like, they just, it's exhausting. They can't escape the headline.
I know. It is exhausting. Well, let's have a little fun. Let's talk about Queen Camilla for a minute. I think this is hilarious.
Yeah, I really want to talk about this event that the Queen was at last week. And this one is for our Barbie lovers. So I don't know about you, Rachel, but I had quite the Barbie collection as a child.
Oh, yeah. I'm so mad that somebody along the way got rid of my Barbie collection. Do you know how much money some of those would be worth? I'm serious. I'm super mad at Mom. I know you're listening. I don't think it was you. I think that they accidentally got thrown out, but I could make a pretty penny on those Barbies, but they're gone. They were like sold at garage sales or whatever. But anyway, yes, I had a great Barbie collection.
I was Barbie for Halloween one year.
Yeah, but that makes sense because you do look kind of like Barbie. But anyway.
Well, I had really long blonde hair when I was little. And just, you know, being Barbie seems so cool to me. And I think even today I would be pretty excited to see a Barbie doll made to look just like me. I mean, I think that'd be kind of cool.
It would be interesting. For sure.
I feel like that's one of the perks of being a queen because Camilla actually got her own lookalike Barbie. So she hosted a Women of the World reception at Buckingham Palace. And at the reception, she was given her very own Barbie doll. But the funny part about it was it wasn't just their faces that looked alike. The Barbie was actually dressed exactly like Camilla in this miniature version of her blue Fiona Clare dress and black Amanda Wakely cape coat. They looked very much like twins. But a funny moment. So Camilla actually, she saw the doll and she laughed and she said, "It's brilliant. You've taken about 50 years off my life."
I love her sense of humor. One of my favorite qualities in a person is the ability to self-deprecate, and she can do that really well.
Definitely. And yeah, it was so funny because Barbie was made to look like Barbie, but, you know, resemble Camilla in a way. And so she added, "We should all have a Barbie," which I, of course, agree with her on that.
I agree. So. Barbie should, you know how you can personalize M&Ms? Like, you can just go on there and, like, yeah. say what you want. You should be able to personalize a Barbie. Mattel would be like, I mean, as if they're not already bajillionaires, but that's my bright idea of the day.
Should have made to order Barbies.
Where you can send them a picture. Yes, and then you get your own Barbie. That would actually be pretty cool.
I agree. Well, the Queen is president of WOW, which is Women of the World, and she actually had some other very well-known ladies in attendance at this event. I know people will recognize these names. So we had Mel B of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
And cool for this podcast, Queen Matilda of Belgium.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, so Camilla gave a speech. She talked about the suffragettes of the early 1900s, and she told the women in attendance that they too represent hope for women in the present and in the future. So, cool event.
Okay, that is a dinner table I would love to sit at with those. That God, what were they talking about? Mel B, Queen Matilda. That's amazing. I love that.
Could you imagine, like, going to an event? It's all women. It's royals, Spice Girls, actresses, and it's all about, like, Barbies there.
That's literally my dream situation. Like, that's all of the things I love in pop culture all in one room.
Well, keeping on with royal ladies. So last week we had the Cheltenham Festival at the horse race course in Gloucestershire, I believe. And this was a royal affair as well. So we had the Queen and the Princess Royal both in attendance. And then we had some really cute cousin moments. And you sent me this picture, Rachel. I'd actually seen it, but I'm glad you suggested we chat about it on the podcast. So there was one moment between Zara and Princess Eugenie. Cameras caught both of them. They were walking together and they had their arms around each other. And I know you agree with me. It's so fun to see the family mm-hmm. genuinely having fun together. And sort of an off-duty capacity. And I say sort of because Zara is actually the race course. She's on the committee there for the race course. So she was working the event to a degree, but you know, it looks like she got to have some fun. So the next day, Princess Beatrice joined and all of the ladies' husbands were there with them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the cousin moments here because, you know, I love all of those women and I'm just glad that they're providing some levity amidst these crazy times.
Yeah, definitely. And I do want to chat about fashion real quick before we move on from this. So there was pretty good fashion moments from this event. Princess Eugenie was in an off-white wrap coat and a white hat. And we saw Princess Beatrice, and she was actually re-wearing a long brown coat that we've seen her in before. And I'm drawing a blank on the designer name, but I love that coat. And then Zara, in my opinion, had a really standout fashion moment in navy blue. Mm-hmm. So the first day of the event, she arrived in a monochromatic navy look. It was like a navy turtleneck top with a navy cape coat. There was a navy belt cinching her waist. And then she paired that with black gloves, a black bag, and a gray fascinator. And I feel like she has really been bringing the fashion lately, especially, I think we can go back to the coronation for me. I think since then, her looks have been really elevated. And I was wondering if maybe she got a new stylist or if her personal style preference has just evolved. But either way, I love it.
And Beatrice, too. They're both majorly on the glow up this year.
Definitely. Yeah. And something else interesting about Cheltenham and fashion. So day two of this event has typically had some sort of theme related to the dress code. And this year, the theme was Style Wednesday, and attendees were encouraged to embrace sustainable items like, you know, like vintage clothing or carefully crafted pieces that are made to last a really long time. And they use the tagline, fast horses, slow fashion, which,
oh, that's
isn't that cool?
Yes. Yeah. That's a good marketing person right there that came up with that. That's good.
I agree. I thought it was creative. I thought it was really in line with our current monarch's way of thinking. And, you know, we've seen a big push really worldwide lately, I feel like, from fast fashion clothing. You know, it falls apart after you wash it a few times or you throw it out after a season, and that's being discouraged lately. And I feel like our royals are really championing the move away from fast fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know the Princess of Wales has been rewearing a lot of items from her wardrobe in recent years. And then I don't even have to mention Princess Anne loves to pull out vintage items from her own wardrobe.
The sustainable girly, you mean? The OG sustainable girly?
Sustainable girly.
I will never get over that for the rest of my life. But anyway. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, what a heck of a royal rundown. Okay. So as we close it, I have a question for you that's been on my mind all week. So Prince Louis's birthday is coming up. It's on April 23rd. So it's in roughly a month. We're recording this on the 19th. Do you think that Photogate or Kate Gate or whatever we're calling it will mean no more photos from the Wales family to the public? Because you know that every photo they put out there is going to be meticulously scrutinized. So as Louis's birthday comes up, and then you've got William and Kate's 13th wedding anniversary right behind that on April 29th. And then right behind that, Charlotte's 9th birthday on May 2nd. So what do we think? Do we think that we've seen the end of the Kate, the photos that Kate takes and sends out to the public?
No, I don't think so. You know, I said in our last episode, it wasn't a matter of if, but when we'll see another photo and how that will be presented. I think we will definitely continue to get pictures taken by the family. And I do think that's the right thing for them to continue sharing these photos. I think if we leave that last photo in the past and we move forward, continuing to share as they always have, I do think eventually things will go back to normal. You know, Catherine owned the mistakes in the last photo. She offered an apology. So I don't think that they need to continue to try to explain this one anymore. Now, I do think that new photo that came out about the Queen probably raised some more eyebrows, unfortunately. And so, you know, I don't know what we'll see come of that. But overall, I do think we'll see photos. And I actually heard something over the weekend. I'm trying to remember where I heard this, that with Prince Louis's upcoming birthday, was it an article or something that the Waleses were still planning to release a photo? So
yeah, actually I did hear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can go ahead and predict that we might see something, but I do think eventually things will kind of go back to normal. I just expect them to be a lot more careful going forward before they release anything. They'll have to get a magnifying glass and go over all the
or just let's just maybe outsource the work on this one. You know what I mean?
Or like maybe
Millie Pilkington do it or something.
Throw the public something really candid, you know.
Well, yeah, if anybody can save the freaking day, it's going to be Louis. So the world needs a Prince Louis, like, really funny birthday photo. World needs that.
Well, Rachel, that was a full royal rundown, and why don't we get into royals around the world?
Yes, let's go around the globe with these royals.
Well, first up, let's go to Monaco. So happy birthday to Prince Albert of Monaco. He celebrated his 66th birthday on Thursday, March 14th. And in celebration, they had a changing of the guard. There was a big band, kind of looked like a marching band kind of walking around. And then, of course, they had this enormous birthday cake I think it was outside, set up in front of the palace. So the royal family stepped out of the palace together. We saw Princess Charlene. She was in a lovely gray, kind of a knee-length dress. And then their twins are adorable. We had Jacques and Gabriella right alongside the couple. I don't know if you saw any photos, Rachel, but Gabriella was in this cream knee-length coat. Mm-hmm. It was so cute. I mean, it was so pretty.
They are cute kids.
They had a really big crowd at the palace greeting them. I saw lots of little Monaco flags being waved. And then I saw one photo of Princess Charlene. She was reaching across the crowds, trying to shake hands with the public. And it just looked like a really great day for Prince Albert and his family. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Prince Albert. Many more.
Yes. Got a quick update on King Harold. He is home from the hospital. He is continuing his recovery, and he is expected to be on medical leave until at least April 8th. So I'm telling everybody now, let's not give him the Kate treatment and start conspiracy theories about a missing king from Norway, because he's telling you now he's on medical leave.
I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that. That's funny. Thank you for that. The world can only handle one conspiracy theory royal, and it's Kate. It's not Harold. And sorry, that tickles me so much. We continue to wish. I'm trying to be serious saying this, but I can't get it out. We continue to wish you well, Your Majesty. Yeah. That I am being serious about that, and just speedy recovery.
All right. So quick update on the King and Queen of Sweden. So King Carl Gustaf and Queen Sylvia have been in Mexico. They did a 3-day official visit, and they were there to focus on innovation, trade, and investment. So when they arrived to Mexico, they were greeted by the president and his wife at the National Palace, and they had a welcome ceremony. And then on their second day, they went to Mexico City, where they participated in the Mexico-Sweden Business Forum. They saw a dance performance, and they met Swedish members of the Swedish colony there. And then the last day of their trip, they visited the Yucatan Peninsula, and they met the governor of Yucatan. They saw pre-Columbian ruins, and they met with members of indigenous communities. So we got a lot of pictures from that trip, and I shared one on our Instagram, and They were looking like they were having a great time. I saw them with different, you know, at the performances and out just seeing sights. So it must have been a fun little getaway for them.
That's awesome.
Working, but fun.
You know what I just thought of? Remember when we used to record every other week? Can you even imagine how long those episodes would be? Anyway, like, they'd be like 5-hour episodes. But really quick, I want to sneak in, because I'm going to forget to say it. Happy early birthday to Princess Eugenie, whose birthday is the 23rd. So that would be, I don't even know what day. That would be Saturday. We'll talk more about that next week. But so I know all of you heard about King Willem Alexander of the Netherlands joke about Photoshop this week. Some people might not know who Willem Alexander is, but we know all of you do, because of royals around the world. So I think it is important to point out that what William Alexander said was a joke. It was not making a dig. It was not said cruelly. So William Alexander was speaking to members of the public during a royal engagement at Zutphen. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. He acknowledged Kate's Photoshop error. So a child at the engagement mentioned a photo of the king with his own family, to which William Alexander replied, "At least I didn't Photoshop it. It was a joke, people. Like, we've got to keep our sense of humor." So the remark prompted laughter from the crowd. It was cheeky. The royal families of the UK and the Netherlands get along well, by the way. The King and Queen Maxima attended King Charles' coronation last May. And if you'll remember back to 2016, William Alexander and Kate, who was Duchess of Cambridge at the time, were photographed together at The Hague back in 2016. So I guess, God, that was 8 years ago. So William Alexander and Maxima also attended Royal Ascot in Order of the Garter back in 2019. So debated whether putting that in, because it's important to note it was said as a joke. Let's laugh.
Maybe an ill-timed joke.
Maybe. It could have maybe been thought out more, but obviously he was just off the cuff.
I feel like the way to really do that is pull out another photo and say, "Let me show you this one. I bet you didn't know it was Photoshopped."
Yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit poor. Yeah, as you said, poor timing, but I think we can give him a pass on this one.
Well, I got a couple more stories before we wrap up royals around the world. So in kind of a weird crossing of paths between American leaders and Belgian leaders, this was odd to me. Barack Obama was actually in Belgium for Supernova, which is a technology festival. So he was actually there to give a speech. And a few days ahead of the event opening, he met King Philippe and Princess Elizabeth of Belgium at Laeken Castle. And he got a photo with the royal family. They were posing with Obama, and they shared it, I think, on their Instagram account. But apparently the Supernova event had some pretty big speakers. So they had people from tech companies like Apple and Tesla there. And so, yeah, he was over there for that event, and I guess decided, you know how with people are in Washington, D.C., they want to go see the White House. Maybe he wanted to go see the castle and get a picture.
And then he popped over to 10 Downing Street. So now everybody today was making the joke like, oh, he's on the hunt for Kate Middleton or whatever. Like, we don't like calling her Kate Middleton, but we just said that because of that's what's in the headlines. But so I guess he's in Europe. That's cool. I did not know that he did that with the royal family of Belgium. So that's cool.
Yeah. And then lastly, I want to chat about Princess Madeleine of Sweden. So I know we've mentioned several times in the past about her plans to relocate her family back to her home country from the U.S., but currently she's still actively engaged in her community in Florida. So I don't know when that 100% transition will occur, or, you know, what their ultimate plans are there. But she recently has been involved in efforts to improve child safety on social media, and her work has been in partnership with the World Childhood Foundation USA, and they provided training for parents and school counselors from the Miami Lakes School District to better educate adults on how to combat minor abuse and exploitation online and better protect children. And a quick note, the World Childhood Foundation was actually founded by her mom, Queen Silvia of Sweden, and it's an organization aimed at creating a safer world for children. So very cool.
That's awesome. And I just realized that Princess Madeline and I now live in the same state. So obviously I need to go hang out with her. So
you need to get out to Miami.
Give me a call, Princess Madeline. I tried to get an interview with her one time and they said no. So I don't think that we're going to be meeting for drinks, unfortunately.
Well, okay. I think it's cool that she is taking this organization that her mom helped start and bringing it to, you know, educate people in the U.S. on stuff. That's kind of interesting.
I love that. Okay, we're going to wrap up this mammoth episode with a little bit of fun. So I'm calling this as a one-shot segment. It's called The Distraction Zone. So there's been a lot of heavy stuff, not just this week, but this year, honestly, in the royal family. So if you want to engage with royally related entertainment, but do you find the news of today too dark? Well, me too. And I'm sure Jessica does too. So if you go back to episode one of our show, which I'm really reticent to send you there because it's probably very painful to listen to. We now have 132 episodes under our belt, but in episode one of the show, we gave you a royal entertainment guide, our favorite books, movies, TV shows, so on, about the royal family. So in my desire to have some fun again with the royal family instead of it being so dark, I officially made a royal entertainment guide. It's 15 pages long, Jessica.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. So it's mostly books, but there are some movies, TV, and Substacks in there as well. So I might eat my words for saying this, but I just want to share this with the world. So if you want a copy of it totally for free, just email us at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. You can just put Royal Entertainment Guide in the subject line. I will send it to you. All I ask on the honor system, I'm not going to back check this, is that you recommend our show to a friend, or why don't you just recommend it to 15, you know, like just like maybe your full contact list. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Write a kind review on Apple Podcasts or an email to us about how we can improve. Because again, remember, that's our new system. I'm not going to withhold the guide from anyone if you don't, but I can't tell you again how much those things mean to us as far as growing our show's audience when all of you do that. That's why we harp on and on about it. So anyway, email us at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. We'll get you a copy. So I'm definitely not going to read all 15 pages of this guide. Most of those pages, again, are books from guests we've had on the show. So that's a good place to start. Just read the whole Katie Nichol collection or read the whole Andrew Morton collection. Go guest by guest, read all of their books. If you want to get away from the real people and read some royal fiction, that is actually a trending subgenre. I don't have to tell you that. I'm not really a big fiction reader myself, but Catherine McGee's American Royals is a 4-part series that's great, as is the 2-part The Royal We and The Air Affair by the writing team of Heather Cox and Jessica Morgan. You've got Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. That's a popular novel. I think actually it was turned into a movie on Amazon Prime last summer, if I'm not mistaken. I also recently read The Royal Game by Linda Keir. I enjoyed that. So you've always got dear old Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York's historical fiction, Her Heart for a Compass, A Most Intriguing Lady you can turn to, and Murder on Mystique by Lady Anne Glenconner. Lest we forget that, I haven't read that one. I need to read that one. All of this is in the entertainment guide. So I just finished earlier this week, again, for probably literally the 7th time, Craig Brown's 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret, which is nonfiction, but it's so delicious. I'm a huge fan of Tina Brown's The Diana Chronicles and The Palace Papers, but that might be too close to the bone right now because that deals with a lot, especially The Palace Papers deals with a lot of stuff that's kind of still going on. So as I've said many times now, the new movie Scoop is coming out on Netflix on April 5th. That is very much current affairs if you're trying to have like a detox and take a mental health break. Maybe go for some other royal movies that are based on facts but have taken some creative license, like The Queen with Helen Mirren, The King's Speech with Colin Firth. Both of those are great, of course. A little bit less fantastic but still entertaining is Diana with Naomi Watts, Spencer with Kristen Stewart, and Grace of Monaco, which is, of course, about Princess Grace, aka Grace Kelly, with Nicole Kidman. I also want to throw in the fictional Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and The Princess Diaries with Anne Hathaway. Those are both about princesses, but not real life ones. And those are both classics, at least to me. So please don't laugh at me, but I've also been trying to distract desperately and watching Lifetime's absolutely ridiculous movies on William and Kate. And then there's 3 about Harry and Meghan, just for total entertainment. I feel obviously they're not factual, but they're super fizzy. They're super fun. And finally, I have long been obsessed with The Court Jeweler. Major shout out to The Court Jeweler. So allow yourself to escape down that rabbit hole for some sparkly jewels, some levity from this year so far and all the darkness. So a reminder from your friends at Podcast Royal, take care of yourself. Get in the distraction zone. Email us if you want the guide. And also, it is not out yet, but I just saw as I was looking through the news this week that the Times of the UK is coming out with a book on May 14th called The Times British Royal Fashion. The book description reads, "It peels back the layers of silk and chiffon to re-examine the royals who captured the public imagination through their inimitable style." So you can grab that on May 14th. It's not out yet. I'm sure you can pre-order it now. And another exciting book announcement. I can't speak for you. So our friend of the show, Robert Jobson, we've had him on the show at least maybe once or twice. He writes a lot of good books. He's another author whose collection you should read all of. He has a new book coming out, Jessica, I think you'll find this exciting, on August 6th, called Catherine, the Princess of Wales. What a time to be writing a biography Catherine, right? I mean, obviously this book has been in the works for years probably, and he's probably scrambling to get those last minute edits in with everything going on. But anyway, he's already written about William, Philip, Diana, Charles. And like I said, especially in light of everything that's gone on in 2024, this book is going to be compelling and not to be missed. So again, take care of yourselves, watch some Grace of Monaco, and just get away from it all. Watch Roman Holiday, Princess Diaries, and just have a little lightheartedness this week.
That sounds great. And Rachel, that's a lot of work that you put into that guide. So thank you.
There's a lot of stuff out there. So it was fun. It was a great way to distract. I needed a distraction. So,
well, we know that between the two of us, you are the avid book and documentary consumer. So you're definitely, listeners, if you want somebody who's giving you really good recommendations, you can trust Rachel.
Well, thank you. I've read, I did not put anything on there that I haven't read or watched. So there's nothing on there that is, that, I mean, some of it's like the Lifetime movies are bad, but like, you know, they're going to be bad, right?
Right. That's why,
and
you watch them.
Yeah. So that, like, you get what you came for. So there's nothing on there that just sucks. Like, that is a waste of your time. I'll say that.
Well, thanks again. And I think that's it for this episode.
Woo, I hope so. That's another long episode. I'm just still eating my words. Oh, February and March will be so slow. We'll get a break. She's not knowing. But anyway, that was a great episode. And thank you all for joining us.
Well, be sure to come hang out with us on Instagram. We are at Podcast Royal. We've got some new followers out there this last week with everything in the news. And if you have questions or thoughts, as always, you can send us a DM on Instagram or send us an email at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. Don't forget to reach out to that email address if you do want Rachel's guide. And of course, as always, we appreciate your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. And thank you so much for tuning into episode 132 of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.